And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, it's been interesting. Still on lockdown. Beginning Monday, you have to wear a mask here when you're going to a store. And if they don't make you wear one, they could be fined $500 per event. Leave it to this mayor to figure out how to make money out of a lockdown. Well, this is June 19th. Juneteenth, that's as it's called. It's the 170th day of the year, 171st in leap years. Year 325, the original Nicene Creed is adopted at the First Council of Nicaea. That's when it was decided by a hand vote that Christ was the physical Son of God. 1179, the Battle of Kalvskinnet takes place outside Nidaros in Norway. Earl Erling Sack is killed, and the battle changes the tide of the Civil War. 1306, the Earl of Pembroke's army defeats Bruce's Scottish army at the Battle of Methven. That was Robert the Bruce of Scotland, one of my ancestors. 1586, English colonists leave Roanoke Island after failing to establish England's first permanent settlement in North America. 1770, New Church Day, Emanuel Swedenborg wrote, The Lord sent forth his 12 disciples who followed him in the world and the whole spiritual world to preach the gospel that the Lord God Jesus Christ reigns. 1800, War of the Second Coalition, Battle of Hochstadt, results in a French victory over Austria. That was back before the French decided, when in doubt, surrender. 1816, Battle of Seven Oaks between Northwest Company and Hudson Bay Company, up near Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. 1821, decisive defeat of the Feliki Eteria by the Ottomans in Wallachia. That was Vlad the Impaler's stomping grounds. 1846, the first officially recorded organized baseball game played under Alexander Cartwright's rules in Hoboken, New Jersey. Place called Elysian Fields. The New York Baseball Club defeated the Knickerbockers 23-1. Cartwright umpired. 1850, Princess Louise of the Netherlands married Crown Prince Carl of Sweden and Norway. 1862, the U.S. Congress prohibited slavery in the U.S. territories, nullifying Dred Scott versus Sanford. 1865, over 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, slaves in Galveston, Texas are finally informed of their freedom. This anniversary is officially celebrated in Texas and 41 other states as Juneteenth. 1867, Maximilian I of the Second Mexican Empire is executed by a firing squad in Querétaro. Now, Maximilian had sent Carlotta back to Austria to try to get help. And he sent his treasure north under the control of some loyal officers. And he made a run for the coast. He got caught. The loyal officers who were escorting his treasure, which was hidden in barrels of flour, hired some out-of-work military veterans from the United States to act as security. They found out what was in the barrels of flour, killed everybody one night, and buried it. One of the things in it was Carlotta's necklace, which I have seen. It wound up in a pawn shop in Juarez, and a friend of mine managed to get a hold of it. It was a beautiful thing. 1875, the Herzegovinian Rebellion against the Ottoman Empire begins. 1903, Benito Mussolini At the time, a radical socialist was arrested by Bern police for advocating a violent general strike. 1910, the first Father's Day celebrated in Spokane, Washington. 1913, Natives Land Act in South Africa is implemented. 1934, the Communications Act of 1934 establishes the FCC, Federal Communications Commission. 1943, the Philadelphia Eagles and Pittsburgh Steelers merge for one season due to player shortages caused by World War II. 1953, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg are executed at Sing Sing in New York. 1960, the first NASCAR race is held at Charlotte Motor Speedway. 1961, Kuwait declared its independence from the United Kingdom. 1964, Civil Rights Act of 64 is approved after surviving an 83-day filibuster in the United States Senate. 1965, Nguyen Cao Ky becomes Prime Minister of South Vietnam at the head of a military junta. General Tu becomes the figurehead chief of state. 1985, members of the Revolutionary Party of Central American Workers dressed as Salvadoran soldiers attacked the Zona Rosa area of San Salvador. 1987, Basque Separatist Movement ETA commits one of the most violent acts in which a bomb is set off in a supermarket. Killed 21, injured 45. 1988, Pope John Paul II canonized 117 Vietnamese martyrs. 1990, the current international law defending indigenous peoples. The Indigenous and Tribal Peoples Convention of 1989 is ratified for the first time by Norway. 1990, the Communist Party of the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic is founded in Moscow. 1991, the last Soviet army units in Hungary are withdrawn. 2007, the Ali Kalani Mosque bombing in Baghdad leaves 78 dead and 218 injured. 2009, mass riots involving over 10,000 people and 10,000 police officers break out in Shishu, China, over the dubious circumstances surrounding the death of a local chef. They get upset about losing their chefs. 2009, war in northwest Pakistan. Pakistani armed forces opened Operation Raya Najat against the Taliban and other Islamist rebels in the South Waziristan area, the federally administered tribal areas. 2012, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange requests asylum in London's Ecuadorian embassy for fear of extradition to the U.S. after publication of previously classified documents, including footages of civilian killings by the U.S. Army. And in 2018, the 10 millionth United States patent is issued. I don't know what it was for, but that's a lot of patents. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Christian Feast Day, Diodatus of Nevers, Gervasius and Protasius in the Catholic Church, Hildegrim of Chalons, Juliana Falconeri, Ramald, Usinius of Ravenna, Zosimus, Day of the Independent Hungary in Hungary, Feast of Forest in Palawan, Juneteenth in the U.S., Labor Day in Trinidad and Tobago, Laguna Day in Laguna, Never Again Day in Uruguay, and World Sickle Cell Day as an international holiday. Let's see what else we have. Okay. In 987, Louis IV was crowned King of France. 1179, we talked about the Norwegian Battle of Kalvskinnet. 1205, Pope Innocent III fires Adolf I as Archbishop of Cologne. 1269, King Louis IX of France decrees that all Jews must wear a yellow badge in public or be fined. 1286, Rabbi Numir of Drachenberg, imprisoned in a fortress of Eisenheim. Uh, 1464, French King Louis XI formed the Postal Service. 1502, Emperor Maximilian I in England signed a treaty at Antwerp. 1572, the garrison under Adrian van Swieten occupies Old Water. 1588, the Spanish Armada is destroyed in a storm at Coruna. 1603, Murger Bien, arrested for witchcraft and fooled to Germany. Part of the fooled to witch trial, she and about 250 others are later burned at the stake. 1610, Samuel de Champlain and his French army defeat the Mohawks at the Battle of Sorel in New France, which is present-day Sorel-Tracy in Quebec. 1631, the Peace of Sarasco, Charles de Gonzaga Nevers becomes Duke of Mantua. 1669, the Polish Parliament selects Witold Michael Wisniewski as king. 1741, the Russian mathematician Leonhard Euler leaves St. Petersburg for a position at the British Academy. It was offered to him by Frederick the Great of Prussia. Excuse me, at the Berlin Academy, not the British Academy. 1754, the Albany Congress, held by seven British colonies near Iroquois Indians. 1770, the General Church of New Jerusalem is established. 1770, Swedenborg reports the completion of the Second Coming of Christ in his work, A New Christian Religion. 1778, Washington's troops finally leave Valley Forge. 1790, French Revolution, the National Assembly issued a decree abolishing the titles, orders, and other privileges of the French nobility. 1807, Admiral Dmitri Sayanovin destroys the Ottoman fleet in the Battle of Athos. 1816, now we talked about that. 1821, the decisive defeat of the Greek Revolutionary Society Paliki Atreria by the Ottomans in Wallachia. 1829, Sir Robert Peel introduces the Metropolitan Police Act into Parliament to establish a unified police force in London. And here, all that's going to go by the wayside with all the carrying on. 1835, New Orleans gives U.S. government Jackson Square to be used as a mint. 1846, first officially recognized baseball. 1861, the Anaheim Post Office is established. 1861, Francis Pierpont is elected provisional governor of West Virginia. 1863, the Battle of Middleburg, Virginia, with 100-plus casualties. 1864, the CSS Alabama, sunk by the USS Kearsarge off Cherbourg, France. The Alabama had been running rampant through Union shipping. 1864, skirmish at Pine Knob, Georgia. 1867, the first Belmont Stakes. Gilbert Gilpatrick aboard Ruthless wins in 3 minutes and 5 seconds. 1868, Major General E.R.S. Canby removes the mayor of Columbia, South Carolina. 1875, formal opening of U.S. Marine Hospital at Presidio in San Francisco. 1881, Muhammad Ahmad becomes the Mahdi of Sudan. 1894, 28th Belmont, Withy Sims aboard Henry of Navarre wins in the 1 minute 56.5 seconds. 1900, Republican Party nominates William McKinley for re-election and chooses a new candidate for Vice President, Theodore Roosevelt. 1908, British Open Men's Golf, Prestwick, G.C. Scotsman James Baird wins his fourth championship. 1910, the first airship in service was called Germany. 1910, Father's Day celebrated for the first time. 1912, Tennessee University opens the Tennessee Agricultural and Land State College. 1913, 1914, 1917, the British royal family, which has strong German ties since George I, renounces its German name and titles and adopts the name of Windsor. In 1919, opposed to dismemberment of Turkey by the Allies, Mustafa Kemal declares his Turkish National Congress, headquartered in Ankara, independent of Constantinople. 1921, the first census is held in Great Britain. 1921, the Turks and the Christians of Palestine sign a friendship treaty opposing the Jews. 1922, Paavo Nurmi runs a world record in the 5,000 meter of 14 minutes, 28.2 seconds. He was nicknamed the Flying Finn. 1923, the comic strip Moon Mullins debuts. 1924, Paavo Nurmi runs a world record in the 1,500 meter, 3 minutes, 52.6 seconds. 1926, DeFord Bailey's first African-American to perform on Nashville's Grand Ole Opry. 1931, first photoelectric cell installed commercially in West Haven, Connecticut. 1932, first concert given in San Francisco's Stern Grove. 1932, hailstones killed 200 people in Hunan Province, China. 1933, the Austrian government Dollfuss bans Nazi organizations. 1934, FCC. 1936, Dutch Premier Kojin denies relation with a German call girl. Also in 1936, German boxer Max Smelling knocks out up-and-coming African-American Joe Louis in 12 rounds at Yankee Stadium. Joe McCarthy is named to manage the All-Stars rather than the high-strung Mickey Cochran, who's very close to a nervous breakdown. 1937, Francisco Franco's troops conquered the Balboa Basque. 1937, LPGA Western Open Women's Golf, Beverly Country Club. Helen Hicks wins the first of her two major titles. 1938, Olympian Flyer Express train crashes in Montana. 47 die. 1938, the FIFA World Cup Final, Stade Olympique de Colombe is in Paris. 1938, Paul Warner of the Pirates, homers off Pete Svice of the Phillies. In 1938, Reds Johnny Vandermeer extends his string of hitless baseball innings to 21 2/3 before Deb Garms singles for the Boston in the fourth. 1940, the German 7th Armored Division under the command of Erwin Rommel occupies Cherbourg. 1940, Hermann Göring orders seizure of Dutch horses, cars, buses, and ships. 1941, Romania orders Jewish evacuation of Derebani. 1941, U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt signs the Two Ocean Navy Expansion Act. 1941, Soviet anthropologist Mikhail Gerasimov opens the tomb of Empire founder Timur and allegedly finds the inscription, "Whoever opens the tomb shall unleash an invader more terrible than I." 3 days later, Germany invades Russia. 1942, Paul Wehner is the 7th to get 3,000 baseball hits. 1943, NFL's Philadelphia Eagles and Pittsburgh Steelers merge. This only lasted through December the 5th. 1943, race riots in Beaumont, Texas. 1944, French troops free the island of Elba. 1944, heavy air raid on U.S. fleet at Guam, Turkey shoot. 1944, Japanese troops conquer Changsha, China. 1944, first day of the two-day battle of the Philippine Sea, where the U.S. naval forces defeat the Japanese fleet. 1944, five of the Magnificent 11 photos taken by Robert Capa during the D-Day landings at Omaha Beach in Normandy is first published in Life magazine. 1946, first TV sports boxing spectacular. Joe Louis knocks out Billy Kahn. 1947, the first plane, an F-80, to exceed 600 miles per hour. 1948, Panama and Costa Rica recognize Israel. 1952, I've Got a Secret debuts on CBS TV with Gary Moore as host. I remember that. 1952, Brooklyn Dodger Carl Erskine no-hits Chicago Cubs 5-0. 1953, Albert Dent elected president of the U.S. National Health Council. 1953, WCSC-TV, Channel 5 in Charleston, begins broadcasting. 1953, WTPA, Channel 27 in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, has its first broadcast. 1954, LPGA Western Open Women's Golf, Glen Flora Country Club, Betty Jameson wins 6-5 over Louise Suggs. 1954, the Tasmanian Devil debuts in Devil May Hair by Warner Brothers. It was a Bugs Bunny cartoon, if I'm not mistaken. 1955, Mickey Mantle hit career home run number 100. 1956, Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin end their partnership after 16 movies. 1960, Loretta Lynn records I'm a Honky Tonk Girl. 1961, Little Egypt by the Coasters peaks at number 23. 1961, New York Yankee Roger Maris hits his 25th of 61 home runs. 1961, the Supreme Court struck down a provision in Maryland's Constitution requiring state office holders to believe in God. 1963, two Russian space missions returned to Earth. 1963, Valentina Tereshkova is the first woman in space to return to Earth. She is the first one that the Soviets talked about. There was one before her who died in space. 1964, Luther Burbank Home and Gardens, home of the famous horticulturist, is designated a National Historical Landmark in Santa Rosa, California. 1965, Algerian coup under Colonel Henri Boumediene, President Ben Bella, is fired. 1967, Paul McCartney admitted on TV he took LSD. Well, there's a long list of things that happened on this date. Um, 1977, Pope Paul VI makes the 19th century Bishop John Newman the first U.S. male saint. 1978, Garfield, the comic strip, created by Jim Davis. It first appears as a comic strip. 1984, Weird Al Yankovic gives a free live performance at the Del Mar Fair. 1985, Reggie Jackson hits his 513th home run to move into 10th place. 1991, Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar surrenders to the police. 1992, Evander Holyfield beat Larry Holmes in 12 rounds for the heavyweight boxing title. Let's see. 1992, Batman Returns, starring Michael Keaton as Batman and Danny DeVito as the Penguin and Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, is released.
Anything else of interest?
I think we've probably ridden this horse as far as we can. Oh, 2014, Felipe VI ascends to the Spanish throne after the abdication of his father, King Juan Carlos. another relative.
Okay. Well, all this having been said, let us move on to ghost. We've been talking about the ghost in the state of Georgia. And we had finished up with Milledgeville, which was the original capital of the state. Monticello. Yeah, wait a minute. New Hope. Noonan. Okay, in Noonan, Cedar Creek Bridge. Yeah, we talked about that one. The Cotton Warehouse. Peachtree Industrial. We talked about Chickamauga. Okay, let's go to Warner Robins Air Force Base. In March of 2001, there was a military aircraft that crashed about 40 miles from the base. The bodies and the parts from the crash were stored in one of the hangars, and since then there have been a lot of strange things that have happened there. Witnesses reported hearing strange sounds, encountering cold spots, and having a lot of machines that turned on unexpectedly. There's an update from December 2003. When the plane went down, they brought the bodies to the hangar for an accident investigation. Tarps were put on the floor and the bodies were laid on them. Ever since that happens, in the early morning and late at night, lights will go on and off in the hangar. And if you walk through it, you feel like somebody's walking right behind you. Building is used for sheet metal repairs on aircraft normally. Quite often, the machines were turned on by themselves. Rome, Georgia. Berry College, the CCC Road, also known as Seven Bridges Road. It's located on the north side of Berry College. When you go west, if you count the bridges you go over, there are seven. If you turn around and count them as you come back, there are only six. At the west end of the road are the ruins of an old church and cemetery called Mountain Springs Church. Witnesses report if you stop outside the church at night, you hear music coming from inside the church, and you hear the sounds of crying and footsteps in the cemetery. As of an update from October 2004, this is a dirt road and it's now blocked to visitors. Also in Rome is Berry College, the road between the new and the old campus. On this road, which is between the main campus of Berry College and the new mountain campus, this two-mile road is bordered by woods on both sides. In the days before there was a mountain campus, students from Berry would go up into the woods to basically fool around. One such couple who attended Berry in the 40s had a tragic accident. After making love, the young man and woman got into an argument, and the boy left his girlfriend in the woods to walk home while he drove off. After driving a little while, he felt sorry, turned around, went back to pick her up. On the way back, he wasn't really paying attention to the road, and he hit something. Assuming it was a deer, he got out to look, but it was the girl, and she was dead. According to students that attend Berry now, if you go to that spot on the road where the girl died and say, "Green lady, green lady, green lady," a pale green light will appear in the trees and float around. It's said to be her spirit. I find it difficult to believe that he wasn't paying attention and hit her. More likely, he was still mad at her and hit her. Then there's the tower between East and West Mary Girls Dorm. Between the dorms of East Mary and West Mary on the Berry campus is a tower that's been there ever since the college opened. Said that a student at Berry hung herself in the tower and wasn't found for several days. Now, nobody knows why she killed herself. The room in which she did commit suicide is locked, but you can go up to the door. And if you listen, it's said you can hear sounds of someone moving about inside the room. It gets very cold in the tower, even during the hot Georgia month of August. And if you wait there long enough, and this is after dark, You hear her crying just before she committed suicide. Then in Rome is the Berry College property in general. While walking the horse trails back by the old watermill, a man in a full historically dated costume has been seen walking around. If you approach him, he'll glare at you, but he won't say anything. If you take your eyes off of him and look back, he vanishes. Roswell, Brunswick Zone. It's been known that an elderly bowler passed away while bowling. And since then, trash can lids randomly dropped to the ground and the feeling of a dark presence will approach and actually push you when you're trying to bowl. Brunswick Zone is a bowling alley, if you haven't figured that out. Roswell Presbyterian Church Cemetery dates back to about 1840. It's said that many of Roswell's most outstanding citizens are buried here, including Archibald Smith and his wife Anne Margaret McGill Smith. There's a red orb seen in the cemetery that floats in among the trees. It doesn't appear to be a light or a plane that can be logically dismissed. Everybody that has been spent any time there has said they've seen it. Lots of ghostly forms and orbs have been captured on film and even with digital cameras. One in particular shows a white filmy mist bathing the side of a child's grave, and sparkles appear in thousands when taking pictures, almost like confetti. Never been any explanation found for it. Also in Roswell, the Public House Restaurant. Supposedly back in the days of the Civil War, this place was the General's outpost. The upstairs was some kind of nursing station where they took some of the wounded to get help. According to the story, there was a soldier and a nurse who fell in love and got married, and then the soldier was tried for some kind of crime and hung in a town square right across the street. According to local legend, the soldier and the woman haunt the place today. Then in Roswell's Roswell Cemetery. The Founder Cemetery in historic Roswell on Sloan Street contains the graves of some of Roswell's founding families, including Roswell King, James Bullock, and John Dunwoody. Many unmarked graves that represent the graves of family servants. Photographs have revealed orbs and mist that many people have talked about seeing. Then there's Roswell Mill. Now, the old Roswell Mill is an odd place. During the day, even if it's sunny outside in the middle of summer, when you go up to the mill, the temperature drops and it gets dark the closer you come to the main building. At night, witnesses report hearing screams and cries coming from the women workers who were sexually assaulted and killed by soldiers. And during the night, it's said a gray haze will cover the area. Rutledge, Hard Labor Creek State Park, also known as Camp Rutledge. Two ghosts said to haunt this place, a man and a little boy. Little boy's name is said to be Ethan. Now, he's not very bothersome. You sometimes have a red ball and he rolls towards you. After a few feet, the red ball disappears. You throw a rock in the direction of the cemetery. You hear the rock hit the ground once, and a second or two later, you hear it hit again. Now, the man that said to haunt the place was a farmer, and he's a different story from the little boy. He said to be malevolent. He'll slam doors, knock on the walls of the cabins, and walk around outside the cabins late at night. If you leave the window shutters open, he'll scratch on the window screen and temperature will drop about 10 degrees inside. Now, it's said he only bothers small groups of isolated people, and these occurrences only happen at Camp Rutledge within Hard Labor Creek State Park, and only at the two cabin clusters closest to the graveyard. Other occurrences are... There's a small graveyard located on the site. After midnight, a figure's been spotted moving in and out of its gates, back and forth across the trail. Nobody seems to know who this figure is or what they're doing. In Sale City, Shady Grove Cemetery, located in the middle of a tight S-curve on a small dirt road outside Sale City, it's a small historic cemetery that locals say is haunted, and there is a lot of unusual activity that goes on there. Locals say if you park your car on the side of the road near the cemetery and look at the small prayer chapel located in the middle of the cemetery, and you sit very quiet, You can hear moans and high-pitched noises coming from the chapel, and at times it seems that there's a low, glooming light that emerges from the foundation of the chapel. Locals say if you approach a cemetery at night, there seems to be an unexplainable chill that goes down your spine every time you try to pass through the arch at the entrance. Sandersville. There's a young infant's grave that has a blue and red glowing light on it, but if you check, there's no light bulb on the grave. This is an unexplainable occurrence. Savannah, the 1790 Inn and Tavern. Now, the inn was built in 1790. It's haunted by a girl named Anna. She was 17-year-old who was shunned after getting pregnant by a sailor. Sailor was said to have jumped out of the third floor window and died. He haunts the same room where that window is located. Guests who stay there claim to lose things such as wallets, IDs, and underclothes. Now, they'll be later found in planters or behind bookshelves. People have also reported hearing Anna in the room moving things around. Now, according to an update I've got, the story is that she was in love with the sailor, but he didn't jump from the window. She did. He had gone to sea and wasn't there, so he wasn't there to throw himself out the window. And it seems more likely that a pregnant female would kill herself than the sailor would have. She was deeply depressed because he was out at sea, leaving her alone, and she really didn't think he was going to come back. It said she could see the sails of his boat as it went down the river and out to sea. She threw herself from a third floor window where she'd been standing watching the sails leave. It also said that there's a woman that haunts the kitchen in the inn who used to practice voodoo. And there's a ghost that haunts the bar and restaurant area. A number of photos have been taken throughout the inn, but none of these anomalies apparently have been caught on film. However, when they tried to take pictures in the bar area, their camera suddenly refused to work. Once they left that area, the camera worked with no problem. They also had to buy new batteries twice in one weekend, as if something had drained them. On the second floor of the inn, in a linen closet, they felt a very strange presence. Later, when talking to a housekeeper, they were told that she'd had a dream of a man clad in 1700s clothing coming out of that same closet. Now, she had no idea they'd had a really creepy feeling every time they walked by it. The second time they stayed in the 1790s, these investigators remarked to the clerk as they checked in that at least they weren't going to have to sleep in Anna's room. Clerk told him the window she threw herself out wasn't actually her bedroom at the time. Her bedroom was room 101, which is the room that they were staying in. But when they got to the room and unlocked the door, it wasn't open. Both the lady who submitted the report and her husband tried to get it open. The bottom lock was unlocked, but the deadbolt wouldn't. They had knocked on the door, jokingly saying, "Anna, come on, open up." They went back to the housekeeper. She went up to check out the problem. She said the deadbolts could only be locked from the inside, and she had a master key for those. She pushed down on the door handle, and the door opened right up. It was as if the deadbolt had never been locked, but they both knew that it had been. The 1790s Inn is most definitely filled with an atmosphere of spirits from the past. If you're sensitive to that kind of thing, you can very easily feel it. And during the night, they heard noises and guests have been known to leave in the middle of the night after seeing apparitions and hearing strange sounds in the room. Also, there's the Bonaventure Cemetery in Savannah. Now, several ghosts are believed to haunt this old cemetery, including the ghost of a little girl named Gracie Watkins, who's buried there. It said at times she cries in the night, and a life-size statue of her is said to cry tears of blood if you take something out of its hands. People who visit the cemetery often put presents in her hands, such as money and trinkets, and etc. There's also said to be a pair of ghost dogs that haunt the grounds. Now, no one's actually seen them, but they've heard barking and heavy breathing and the sounds of dogs running in the area around them. That's probably similar to the cemetery number one in New Orleans, where Marie Raveau is buried. Outside of her mausoleum, you'll see money and everything else you could imagine lying on the ground, and none of it's ever taken because nobody wants to incur her wrath. Savannah, Fort Pulaski. Late at night, witnesses reported hearing strange noises such as guns firing and the sounds of people dying and a little girl crying. Grove Point Plantation in Savannah. Witnesses see the mist of smoke that follows you around, and sometimes it even chases you. You can hear sounds, loud-pitched voices, almost like a horse, but it's actually, most folks think it's human. Bushes are moved, trees will slant down, but to date, no one has seen or photographed anything. They just hear it and see the effects. Hampton Lillibridge House in Savannah. Said to be the most haunted house in Savannah, and the only house in there known to have had an exorcism. When the house was being restored in 1960, some workmen refused to finish the job because of a number of strange occurrences. Tools would disappear, they'd hear footsteps when they knew they were there alone, and they'd encounter very strange feelings. On one occasion, a man was seen wearing a black suit and bow tie on a third floor window when there was nobody in the house. Neighbors have also heard a woman screaming coming from within the house, and there's a gray-haired man moving about the property that's been sighted. The Haslam House in Savannah. There's a tall man that appears, and there's been some poltergeist activity reported. Savannah, Isle of Hope, Camp Villa Marie. Everybody who has ventured through this area has claimed to see many of the same things. They all hear children playing, see blue outlines of things moving, and hear swing sets when there are none in the area. And they see bright lights go on and off in areas where there are no lights. It's near the site of an old battle from the Civil War. Cynthiana, Rose Opera House. Before the motion picture business came in, this was an actual real opera house. There were reports of a woman in her 40s in a long flowing white dress being seen moving about the building. Then there's the Juliet Lowe birthplace in Savannah. Two former owners are said to haunt this house, Sarah Gordon and her daughter-in-law, Nellie Kinsey Gordon, who was the mother of Juliet Gordon Lowe, the founder of Girl Scouts. Nellie said to rearrange furniture, play the piano, and slide down the banister after the museum closes for the night. Visitors to the place have often reported seeing Sarah wearing an old-fashioned dress walking around on the upper floor. Savannah, Kehoe House, Bed and Breakfast. Said to be haunted by the spirits of children. Also, there's a lady in gray who haunts not only the bed and breakfast in general, but particularly room 203. People who stayed in this room reported feeling their hands being gently touched and felt kisses on their cheeks. All seem to agree that whatever spirit haunts this room is a friendly spirit. In Savannah, there's the main town square. Supposedly in the square, a pregnant lady committed suicide. Well, that's not true. She'd committed a crime, got arrested, and was going to be hung. The hanging was postponed till she had a baby. When she finally had the baby, it was taken away from her and she was hung. You now can see her wandering through the area, crying, looking for her baby. If you go up to her, she'd think you have the baby and will follow you through the square trying to recover it. Oglethorpe House in Savannah. It's now a college dorm and been reports of water turning on several times. A girl once tape-recorded the sounds of her room after things were being rearranged when she left, and she heard only the door shut when she left, and shortly after that, there were noises of things being moved about the room. There have been whispers of people in people's ears when they try to sleep at night. Others report the most famous place is in front of room 600 and or 601. The place in front of the rooms is where a girl jumped and committed suicide a number of years ago. So if you go there now, the place has plexiglass all around half of floor 6. In room 416, there are reports of a stool scraping across the floor that you can hear from the room up above, and sounds of a marble dropping and rolling. Savannah, Piccadilly, haunted by the ghost that's been named Gracie. During the yellow fever epidemic, the restaurant, which is what Piccadilly actually is, used to be a hotel. This is back in the 1800s. Gracie was the daughter of the owner, and she died at age 7. She said to haunt the downstairs bathrooms, and you can often feel chills in the air when she's present. Pirate's House Restaurant in Savannah. Pirate Captain Flint is said to haunt this place. Also, 12 people from the Ghost Chasing Society of America stayed there for two nights on the second floor of the restaurant. Two of them were the only ones there at the end of the 2 days. The others had decided there was someplace else they had to be. Savannah, the Savannah College of Art and Design, Oglethorpe House. Well, we've talked about the Oglethorpe House, which is actually part of the college. Now, the stories that I've got regarding the college. Residents on numerous occasions have seen the ghost of a little girl who they believe to be the famous Gracie Watkins of Bonaventure Cemetery. The ghost is seen at night running away and down a hall, and he turns a corner and moves out of sight. If you chase her, there's nobody there. She's been seen entering rooms and has been spotted looking at the residents' clothes in the closet. And they've also reported hearing whispers and see the figure of a transparent girl kneeling beside their beds. And now that's something to wake up to, let me tell you. Savannah College of Art, Weston House. This is a dorm for the Savannah College of Art and Design, which is formerly the Savannah Weston Hotel. It's located at 231 West Boundary Street and is one of the various areas of Savannah where Civil War battles were fought. The old railroad also runs adjacent to it. At all times of the day, students hear tapping on the walls, furniture moving in empty rooms, and the sounds of a young lady singing. There have been rare occasions where folks have reported physical contact with unseen entities. In these events, students have reported being touched or grabbed. Now, sightings are somewhat rare, but they have been reported. Then there's the Savannah River. A girl known as the Waving Girl, Florence Martis, was immortalized in a statue on the Savannah River. She had a habit of waving a cloth or towel over her head as a helpful signal to boats coming in. The statue depicts her waving with a large dog sitting next to her. Many times that stone cloth has been seen waving as if in the wind. Others believe it to be haunted by a ghost boy who broke little children and animals' necks. It's said he was actually hung near the river. On calm autumn nights under a full moon, you said you can see him walking around looking for victims. Savannah, the old colonial cemetery. Been numerous hauntings seen. In one case, a couple was seen walking or floating in the graveyard after it was closed. They had been decapitated and were missing their arms from the elbow down. And this also has graves from before the Civil War in it, so this couple could literally come from any era. Savannah, the old Pink House Restaurant and Tavern, said to be haunted by its builder, General Habersham. He often appears in the basement, which is now the tavern. He's actually been known to walk among guests in the upstairs dining room dressed in his uniform, and everybody thinks it's part of some kind of act. The Pirate's House Tavern. According to the story, the restaurant is haunted by Captain Redbeard, also known as Captain Flint. It was built back in the 1700s and was originally a pub for sailors. Flint would go there with the sailors and take women through a secret passage that leads down to the docks and would take them out onto a ship. They've had so many reports of ghostly activity on the second floor, they had 12 experts from the National Ghost Chasing Association come in and stay on the second floor for 3 days, as I told you. There was so much weird activity that all of them left except the two I told you about. The Telfair Museum, haunted by its former owner. She said to roam around and keep the housekeeping people from doing what they shouldn't. If you smoke a cigarette in the house or sit in the wrong chair, you can hear footsteps coming at you across the marble floors. Now, I had been to Savannah and toured the Telfair Mansion and was told the Telfair family had died out, even though one of the colonels I was working with at the Fort Benning at the time was actually named Telfair. The old Telfair Hospital. Supposedly, Mary Telfair also haunts his former ladies' hospital. She has been seen wandering up and down the halls wearing a brown dress. Scott, Bay Springs Church and Cemetery. been a lot of happenings reported for this church and cemetery. One of the stories is that a man who was known to be quite mean and an atheist went out into the field and said, "If there's a God, let him strike me dead." According to the story, a few minutes later, lightning struck and killed him on the spot. And at the funeral, lightning hit the casket. Supposedly, he sticks his head up out of the grave periodically. There have been many voices and strange noises heard coming from the church at night where his funeral was held. Says it sounds like every pew in the church is being flipped over at one time, but when you check, nothing's out of place. In Scott, Bill Smith Road, and Lloyd Pine, been a lot of strange happenings reported from this area. Among them are floating lights, cars shutting off for no reason, and a man being seen walking down the road, but if you try to approach him, he disappears. Scriven, out on the railroad, said to be an orb of light hovering over a nearby railroad track where a man was hit. It's usually seen only late at night. He used to walk up and down the railroad carrying a lantern, and just like that lantern, this orb of light is seen to swing from side to side. St. Mary's, Orange Hall. A ghosted little girl is said to be seen walking through the building as you come up on midnight. Says you can see flashes and images if you're there at midnight. St. Simon's Island. There was a woman that lost her husband. It apparently was a sailor and he drowned. At night, she's quite often seen walking the beach and calling out his name. Then in St. Simon's Island, Christ Church. If it was enclosed by a wall, visitors could make midnight trips to see the flickering lights of a candle that's been seen above one of the tombstones. You had to drive your car slowly on the left side of the road with the lights down. According to the story, a woman who lived on the island was so afraid of the dark, she always slept with a lit candle by her bed. And when she died, her husband was so distressed at the thought of his wife being in the dark every night of his life. Until he died, he went out and put a candle on top of her tombstone. Then there's Ebo Landing on St. Simon's. Supposedly a group of chained slaves being held on the beach. They had just arrived on the smuggling ship, the Wanderer. They made a suicide pact. Rather than live their lives in irons, they ran into the water, and they all drowned. It's said this location is haunted by their spirits. You can hear the heavy irons clatter as they sprint from the beach for the water. St. Simon's Island, Jekyll Island, Beachview Drive. Mary the Wanderer is a ghost that haunts Jekyll Island's main beachfront area, not St. Simon's. The Wanderer Hotel operated for many years on Jekyll's Beachview Drive, the main road on the island. She's been seen wandering the coast waiting for her lost love who never returned from sea. St. Simon's Island Lighthouse is haunted by a former lighthouse keeper. And at night, his footsteps can be heard going up the stairs going to the top where the light is located. Statesboro, the packing house. Off packing house roads, an abandoned meat packing plant. Shadows can be seen trying to escape the building, but will go no further than the entranceways. On a full moon, a gunshot can be heard and the screams of burning victims echo through the night. Every other night, look at the second window from the right on the third story and you see a woman with a look of terror on her face. On the back side of the building, their extreme temperature drops. Nobody really knows the full story of what went on there, but it is known something out of the ordinary happened. Stillmore Cemetery, old Kenfield Road. Walking through the back half of the cemetery, it's a relatively old cemetery in the south, which is on the left-hand side of the road going downhill on a warm August afternoon. You'll run into cold, moist spots. Now, this cemetery is way out in the middle of nowhere. No trees or other shade around, no tombstones close to the road. These cold spots are said to only last a brief moment. Stockbridge, Southernest Golf Club. The oldest house in Rockdale County still standing at the main entrance to the golf club. It said that workers have seen chairs upstairs rock back and forth, and at night employees have passed by the house and noticed blue lights going back and forth and figures being seen in the windows, accompanied by moans and a lot of commotion. Stockbridge, the Stockbridge Elementary, that there are railroad tracks right beside the school. According to the story, a group of people was crossing the tracks and their car overheated, and it stopped. They sat there because nothing was coming. They were waiting for their engine to cool down so they could start back up. Well, they heard the sounds of a train, saw a train approaching, and tried to get out of the car. Two of the five people made it out. A lot of the older cars were only two-door cars. You'd have two sitting up front and three in the back. Train rammed into the car, sent it flying into the woods right behind the school. You can still see the remains of the car in that patch of woods if you're on the playground. Supposedly on the night and around the night that the accident happened, you see a hitchhiker. If you pick them up, they'll sit with you, and as you cross the tracks, your car will stall. Then you'll hear a train coming at you. All of a sudden, that person will disappear, your car will stop up, and you'll roll forward. If you don't pick them up, you stall on the tracks anyway. The train comes at you and goes right through you and your car. Then there's Stockbridge High School. Janitors, teachers, students, parents, and police have all witnessed slamming doors, heard disembodied voices and footsteps coming from the back halls, and seen objects move of their own. Police and school officials I've been called in the middle of the night because the school alarms are going off. When they get there, they find everything is fine. When you go inside, footsteps and distant voices are heard. Now, there's no cause have been found for these occurrences. There was one sighting of a woman that appeared to be in her mid-40s that was reported by a janitor working late in the back hall, but that's been the only report about full-blown apparitions. In Stone Mountain, a cemetery by Day's End, a lot of strange sounds have been heard and figures been seen move. The old cemetery at the end of Main Street dates back to before the Civil War. Orbs have been seen floating around, and if you take a picture, you'll be guaranteed to see an orb. You have to go at night, though. There are marble platforms standing on between the graves, and it feels like a hand is pushing you off, and some folks who get up on these platforms just can't keep their balance. You can hear footsteps and leaves and branches being crushed around you when there's nobody there. Even in the summer, there are numerous cold spots that have been reported by people. And sometimes I feel like a cold hand is touching or poking at you. Everyone seems to agree this is quite a haunted location. Everybody who goes there at night usually experiences something out of the ordinary. Then there's the park on old U.S. 78. Beginning where the Cherokee Trail intersects U.S. 78 near the main railroad station, people reported hearing footsteps. Animals react to whatever is there. One man said his dog looked like every 10 feet or so as they would walk. And there's the Antebellum Plantation in the Stone Mountain Park. Several buildings in there are haunted. Thornton House, witnesses have reported feeling a spirit at the top of the stairs between the children's room. In the Dickey House, Confederate reenactors reported seeing a woman in top floor windows when they camp out on the lawn. And down in what's called the quarters, a lot of folks report encountering spirits. Well, we come to the end of another show. We'll be back on Monday when, once again, you'll be listening to Ken Hudnall and the Ken Hudnall Show. Until then, have a great weekend.